Appreciate that good singing. Appreciate the Brother Keith and the job he does and his family singing for us. You know, it takes a lot of people working to have a church. And this is one place, if you want to go to work, there's plenty to do. This Brother Tommy Bruce said, just see him. Sometimes people don't want to do what God wants them to do, though. We got to be willing to follow him and not ourselves. Got some scripture this morning I'm going to share with you out of John chapter number 20 and number 21. Tuesday morning, I had to go to work and I have my phone set with the alarm. And I like using the phone for the alarm. Just reach down there and mash a button and it goes to snooze for 8 minutes. And I keep it by the bed, and I just beep, beep, beep. And I know about how many times I can hit it and still get up on time. Or at least make it to work on time. Well, Tuesday morning, I hit the snooze the first time. But before it could go off again, the Lord woke me up. And when he woke me up, he said, get up. Because he woke me up with this thought. He gave me the title, he gave me the points, he gave me every bit of it. He just gave it straight to me, and I thought, oh, I'm tired, but that's good. I'll write that down in a minute. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever done that. God speak to you, and you know God spoke, and you think, boy, when I get up in the morning, I'm going to write that down. And you get up in the morning, and you think, boy, what was that? What was that? It was so good when God was speaking to me, and you know how good it was, but you can't remember. And I was laying there, and I said, I'll get up in just a minute. And God said, now. And before I could do anything, I had to go into the living room. I got a notepad out, and I wrote down the title, and I wrote down the points. And I've been studying on this week, and I've never preached on this exactly this way. But I'm going to try to just follow the Lord. But it was unique to me how God, I guess, has moved in my heart. Sometimes God will move and he'll speak to me. I'll be riding down the road. And I'll sometimes even pull over and grab a napkin or something. Write on it. But here's the title this morning. It is Renewing Your Passion for the Things of God. And I'm going to read you a couple of places here. I want to go to John chapter 20, but we're going to primarily be spending our time in 21. And I want to read several verses to you, and then I'll come back and explain to you what's on my heart. But in the book of John chapter number 20 and verse number 19, this is after Jesus was crucified and he was resurrected. He was risen from the grave. And the disciples, the scripture says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now this is after he had resurrected. You remember Peter, he ran there to the temple and he looked in and he saw the grave clothes that lay where Jesus' body was. But the scripture says here that they were assembled together, afraid of the Jews. Jesus speaks, says, peace be unto you. And says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now let's go down to the 21st chapter, beginning in the first verse. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, Lo, no. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were yet so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, I want to talk on this subject, renewing your passion for the things of God. But I want us to look at this scripture, and I want to walk through this scripture, and I want you to see the historical happening and the doctrinal teaching. And then I want to tell you the things that God's put on my heart and how we apply this to our own lives. But let's go back in time for just a few minutes, and let's look and see what was happening in this day. These disciples had walked with the Lord, and they had saw him do many wonderful things. They had saw the lame walk. They had seen the blinded eyes opened. They had seen the withered hand outstretched. They had seen the dead raised. They had saw him. Peter saw him walk on water. They saw him spit in the clay and make the spittle and anoint the eyes. They saw him reach down and take the hand of Jairus' daughter and say, Arise. They saw him when he was there and he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out. But they were also there in the garden when he prayed until his sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood. And the next morning when the guards came and they took him, and Peter even drew his sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. They saw him taken and be falsely accused before Caiaphas. They saw him falsely accused before the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. They saw him scourged. They saw his back ripped open and they saw the blood flow down off of the whipping stump. They saw him when he carried the cross up the Via Dolorosa, when they placed the crown of thorns on his head and they threw him down on the ground and they drove the nails in his hands and they raised the cross when it fell into the hole and his flesh tore. They heard him when he made the seven cries from the cross. And they saw him when he died. Now, if you look a little farther forward, remember that Peter came running early in the morning after Mary had said, He's not here, but he's risen. And Peter came, and the other disciple came, and they ran, and they saw the grave closed. They saw the empty tomb. And remember, we read in John chapter number 20 and 19 and 20 that Jesus appeared unto them. But what were they doing?
They were gathered behind a closed door because they were afraid, because they feared the Jews. They were there and they were afraid, and even when Jesus appeared unto them, and you can see it in the context of this story. See, even though Jesus had shown himself, the Lord had shown himself unto them several times, and he even said unto them, and he gives them these words, the very first thing he says is, "Peace be unto you." Then you go over to the 21st verse in John chapter number 20. He said, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you." But if you look at these disciples, the way they act is, it is as if they've lost their direction. It's almost like this. They were uncertain as to what to do next. They were confused. They were discouraged. Now he said, he gives them the commission in the 21st verse. He said, "So send I you." But what do they do? If you go into the 21st chapter and you see Jesus is going to appear to them again, but I'll tell you what they did. Rather than going forward and marching in the word that they had heard, telling the story that Jesus had risen from the dead, Peter said, "I go a fishing." Now see, what they did is they went back to what they used to know. Remember that they were fishermen when Jesus passed by and he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." But because they were confused, because they were uncertain, because they were discouraged, they went right back to what they used to be and what they used to know. Yeah. And because now, whether we like it or not, we know that Peter's like, he's like me. I'll tell you why he's like me. He's got a temper. He's like me because sometimes when God's speaking, he interrupts. Because sometimes when God gives direction, he said, "Oh no, it's not like that." But whether we like it or not, if we look at the Bible, we understand that Peter was a leader. And what happened? When Peter said, "I go a fishing," they said, "Well, we go with you." You see, that's the danger sometimes when I look at my own life and I look at my own responsibility, whether I'm at work or I'm at church or I'm at home with my children, they're watching everything that we do. And I want to tell you, as I look at this story and I can kind of apply it to my own life, and I don't know if you've ever been this way, but there's been times in my life when I was uncertain. There's times when I didn't know, although I knew who God was, I knew what God wanted me to do, I didn't know exactly what the next step was. You see, there's been times in my life that you might call it between churches. Not exactly got any roots here or any roots there, trying to find out what God's will is, trying to pray. And I can remember times on Sunday afternoon, we'd get up on Sunday morning and we'd go to church and we'd get to the end of Ridge Road. I don't like doing this. We'd get to the end of Ridge Road in 92 and my wife would say, "The light changed." And I was uncertain. I didn't know where to go. Do I go right? Do I go left trying to pray and seek God's will? Knew I needed to be in church, so on Sunday morning we'd go somewhere. But on Sunday afternoon I found myself doing this. I was so uncertain. I didn't know what to do. I knew who God was. I knew God had work for me to do. I knew God had a plan. But I can tell you that time after time, for a period of time, praying through it, I'd look at my wife. I'd say, "I think I'm just going to go play golf this afternoon." I was like Peter. He said, "I go a-fishing." Now, if I'd have had a bass pond that was loaded with bass, I'd have probably said, "I go a-fishing." But I didn't have one. I did have a membership to Mirror Lake. So I go a playing golf. Or I go a hunting. Or I go a bowling. Or I go to the game room. Or I go here. Or I go there. But the point is, uncertain, not knowing exactly what to do, certainly not doing what God wanted me to do. And if we look at this scripture, he had already spoke to them, and he said, "As I have been sent of my Father, so send I you." Can I tell you something this morning? If you're saved by the grace of God, there should be nothing in your life more important than being in the house of God. Nothing more important than serving God. I go a-fishing. Well, you look a little farther in this scripture and you go down to the fourth verse, and as they're out on the sea in there, the lake, and they're fishing, Jesus stood on the shore. And this is the next things that happen in your life, but the scripture says that they knew not that it was Jesus. You see, the first thing happens when you get discouraged, you get confused. The danger is you go back to what you used to know. The second thing that happens is you begin to lose discernment and you forget who Jesus is. You can't recognize him when he calls. You can't hear him when he speaks. And you're not listening to his voice. Amen. See, Jesus stood on the shore, but they knew not because they had lost their discernment. Now you look a little farther in the scripture, in the fifth and the sixth verse. Now these were fishermen, and they had not lost everything that they knew in just a couple of years, okay? They were professional fishermen. But when they got in the boat, the scripture says that they fished all night, but they caught nothing. Now here's the danger that I feel in my life, and this is something that I would literally be afraid of. I don't fear a whole lot, but I fear this. I fear getting up in the morning and getting in my car and driving to work, and the whole time I'm driving, the Holy Spirit writing Ichabod over my door because God has departed. Do you know that when God departs from you and the hand of God has left you, there's nothing more fearful in life? But what God's trying to teach them is it don't matter what you do, how great you are, what you think you know, you cannot do it without me. That's why he said, cast the net on the right side, and you shall find. See, they were doing it their way. They went back to what they knew. But Jesus was teaching them where their supply came from. If you think your supply comes from you and what you know, God could change your direction just like that. I don't care how big your 401k is. I don't care how much you got in the bank. All it takes is one sickness and it'll ever be gone. All it takes is one mistake at work and they'll forget that you've been there 20 years and they'll replace you with somebody that's got a better degree, that's younger. Your supply comes from God. Amen. He said, cast the net on the right side and you shall find. Here's something significant. This is not the lesson, but I like this and I got this wrote on my wall at work. How many did they catch? 153. But if you read the scripture, it says they pull that net, but the net did not break. And here's what I want you to understand that's significant about it. God knows exactly how much fish would fit in that net before that net broke. God knew what to put in that net, just like God knows what to put in your life. And he was trying to teach them something about themselves and about him. He is the provider. Well, look at the scripture further. You know, go down to the seventh verse. Said that other disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. But when Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his fisher's coat around him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. Now, why did he do that? I tell you, when he heard it was the Lord, he knew that he wasn't supposed to be out there naked. And all of a sudden he grabbed that coat and he jumped in the water. See, it wouldn't have mattered if it had been somebody else. Here's what happens. Number one, you begin to lose direction. You get discouraged. Then you lose your discernment. I tell you, the next thing that happens is you start to lose your convictions. That's why the longer you stay away from the house of God, the easier it is to stay away from the house of God. If you're saved, the Bible says you ought to be in the house of God. He lost his convictions, and he was out there in the boat, and he was naked, and they said, it's the Lord. Can I tell you what the scripture says? The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There's nothing hidden from God. He sees, he knows all. It's not about me. Not about what I think. Sometimes I've had people try to, they say something, that, you know, I'm there. Look, it don't matter what I think. Who am I? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd been in hell FedEx. And I wouldn't have been late on Christmas Eve. But further decline, they lost their discernment.
convictions begin to slip. But when I read this story, it really begins to be encouraging to me. You see, because when you need renewal in your life, Jesus knows exactly what to prepare for you. You see, if you read on this story in the 9th and the 10th verse, it says, as soon as they were come to the land, there was a fire there. There were coals there. There were fish and there were bread. Now, Jesus, this is God, okay? He can do whatever he wants. I can just imagine snapping his fingers and the fire. Yeah. Where'd he get the fish? He could have whistled and they jumped in the pan. I don't know. He's God. He could have reached down and took a lump of sand and turned it into bread. He's God. But here's what I want you to understand. He had comfort for them. He had love for them. He was not standing there with a whip and a stick saying, you boys know better. But he was there on the shore just like this. Saying, y'all come sit with me. Sit here and let's talk a while. Let's remember the things that I've told you. Remember when we walked together. Remember when I come to you. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. See, Jesus had prepared what they needed. The first was a natural meal. And we've made these comments and we talk about this sometimes in Celebrate Recovery and we talk about it in church and you ought to talk about it. Do you know it's hard to talk to somebody about their salvation if their stomach's growling? It's hard to go to a country and say, we're here representing Hiram First Baptist Church. I know y'all hadn't eaten in 3 days, but let me tell you how good God is. They sat down there and the first thing he did is he prepared a meal around a fire to comfort them. And he began to, basically, here's what he did. He served them. Yeah, yeah. Just like he does you and I every day. He serves up blessings to us. People said, did you have a good Christmas? You know the comment? Better than I deserve. Yeah. How about you? Okay. Better than I deserve. And can we not look at this scripture and see these men sitting down at the feet of Jesus? They were just humbled. I believe by his gracious act. See, he prepared a natural meal. And then you go on in the next verses and he begins to speak to Simon Peter. After the natural meal, then comes the spiritual lesson. He said, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said, if you love me, love my people. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. You know, if you love Jesus, doesn't the scripture say as much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto him? You know, sometimes in ministry, people say, well, I'd serve God, but I just can't stand the people. I love church, but I can't stand being around people. Let me tell you something. What you do for God. You don't do it so somebody will pat you on the back. You don't do it so somebody will appreciate you. You don't do it to get your name in lights. You do it because you love him. And if you do it because you love him and you love him secretly, he'll reward you openly. Amen. Now you go on, and I'm going to go in a different direction here, but you know what happens with Peter? This is the same one that denied the Lord 3 times and with a curse. And the next time Jesus gets to talk to him, he said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Well, you go on and you see where on the day of Pentecost, Peter was there and he preached and thousands of people got saved. And he preached with fire and he preached with zeal. And I'll tell you exactly why. It's because when he failed, all Jesus did was wrap his arms around him and squeeze him close to him.
Can I tell you, sometimes that's what we ought to do with each other? Can I tell you that when somebody fails in the church, we ought not get on the phone and say, "Hey, have you heard about so-and-so?" Let me tell you something. Don't be surprised when people fail. Be surprised when they don't. See, when you need renewal, Jesus knows exactly what to prepare for you and me. See, God loves you and He cares for you, and all God really wants for you is you to be your absolute best. Now, if we're going to apply this scripture, and here's some things I just want to share with you. Renewing our passion for the things of God. There's three things. I was going down the road and God told me this stuff. Three things that people need to renew their passion for. Number one is your family. Can I tell you this morning, I don't care how good a preacher a person is. I don't care how good a Sunday school teacher or how good a deacon. If you don't love your wife and your kids the way God wants you to, you ain't right with God. And ain't's a word in the South. Too many times, people get so caught up in the other things that they forget about the most important thing. Here's why I believe. Your number one ministry is in your home. Somebody made a comment to me the other day, and they were telling me about something, and I said, here's what needs to happen. A man needs to be a man. He needs to get up in the morning. He needs to go to work. And he needs to go whether it's cold or whether it's hot. He needs to go whether he feels like it or whether he don't. And he needs to come home after he's worked all day and provide the things of the family. And if he can and he's still got enough strength, there ain't nothing wrong with emptying a dishwasher or folding a load of clothes because mama's worked all day too, whether she was on a job or not. Because when you do what you're supposed to do and you love your family the way that God loved you, you might find that things are better around your house. That's just the way I believe. I can't help but say nothing else. But too many times today, what's going on in America? Or why are there so many problems? It's because the daddy is not in the home. And all this stuff about who's in charge, I'll tell you just the way I feel about it. When a man stands up and he's a man of God, his wife will follow him. I believe that. Now, if she don't, you stay with God anyway. And I know there are times when that happens, but I want you to know, even if that happens, God has a plan for your life. And I want to tell you something. I am not going to follow the devil for a wife or for a child. And ladies, you don't follow the devil for a man. I hear this stuff on the news so many times to where a woman has allowed some boyfriend or some husband to come in and abuse the children and mistreat them when he ought to have been in the road a long time ago. Meddling, I don't know. The things of God is your family. God ordained the family. That's why the scripture says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. What does that mean? That means that you come together and you're one flesh. You love your wife. Man, you love your wife. Husband, woman, you love your husband. It's no longer, mama, what do you think? It's no longer mama butting in her nose in everybody's business, but now they've got their own life. The second thing of God is the church. I was talking to a man this week, and he was trying to tell me why he didn't go to church. He said, you know the word religion. He started giving me this stuff. It comes, and he started giving me these definitions. I knew what he was saying. He said, it comes from the Latin word religio, which means to bind. And he did this. And I said, hold on. And he started to tell me why he didn't come to church, and he started trying to tell me about how all the churches have problems and this, that, and the other. And the Lord immediately, through the Holy Spirit, reminded me of a verse in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So if you want to bind something on earth that'll be bound in heaven, serve God here. You see, I don't care nothing about hearing how much somebody knows about the Word of God if the only thing they want to use is tell me about how everybody else is wrong. Yeah. However, church is wrong, how nobody's serving God, nobody's doing what's right. I don't tell you what's going on here at Hiram First Baptist Church. You got a bunch of beggars, they found bread, that are trying to find somebody else that they can share bread with. Okay? My wife came home from work one day and she's telling me the story. She said, a lady came up to me at work today and she said, I recommended some people to your church. She said, they just wouldn't fit in at my church. And I thought they'd fit in over at your church. You know what she said? She said, you send them. You tell them to come. Because if our church can be a place where the needy come and they can find love and they can find Jesus, then that's the kind of place we want to be known for. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24. Says, let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works. Then it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now folks, the day is approaching. Jesus is coming. Now I believe that with all my heart, but that's all the more reason we need to be at the house of God. We need to be here so we can come together, so we can lift one another up. I read a card this morning. This week, we've had two funerals in the church. We've got people in the hospital. And it's encouraging to me when I hear how people reach out and I hear about the love. You're not going to get that in the world. You need to be in the house of God so we can help one another be what we're supposed to be for the honor and glory of God. Here's accountability. It's not you telling me everything that's going on in your life, because believe me, I really don't want to know. I want to help you. Okay, I'm not saying that to be mean, but it's not that some things, you know, although it says bear one another's burdens, and although it says confess your faults one to another, there's some things that I've actually had people begin to tell me, and I say, shh, I don't want to hear that. But I can tell you this much. Here's why we need to be in the house of God, because God's here. Because God's Spirit's here. Because God's people's here. And if you come here, you're exposing yourself to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will work in your life to help you be what God wants you to be. That's why we need a renewed passion for our family. Men need to stand up and be men, bottom line. And we need to remember that God died for us. We ought to at least be serving Him. The things of God as our family, our church, and the lost. You know, as Christians, we should never lose our burden for the lost. You know, I've heard people make comment like this. They talk about praying for somebody or loving somebody, and they just don't seem to want the Lord. And they make a comment, well, I've done everything I can. I guess they just let them die and go to hell. Do we believe in hell anymore? You see, I've had people come up to me after church and ask me to preach more about it. But I don't like it. I don't like talking about it. I don't like reading about it. But the truth is, if we believe what we say that we believe, then we ought to have a burden enough that we can invite people. We ought to have a burden enough that when the altar call comes, we're praying and we're trying to be discerning, asking God through His love and Holy Spirit to make people feel comfortable enough and welcome enough that they'll get up from where they're at and go to the altar without fear of being judged, believing that somebody will love them enough to care for them and wrap their arm around them and try to help them. Some people weren't raised in church. See, I was in church since I was like that. I heard preaching, I've heard shouting, I've seen people walk on the back of the pews. I've been in foot washings where three people preaching at one time. None of it surprised me. But when you're not raised in church and you come in, all people know is how uncomfortable preaching that's anointed by the Holy Spirit makes them feel, because God is moving in the midst and they don't even understand what's going on. That's why if they don't feel loved and welcomed by you, that means you got to have a burden to be praying for them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glory of gospel of Christ, who is the gift of God, should shine unto them. See, we need to pray when we're in church for the lost that the devil would be bound long enough for them to get up and move. It's a passion that we need to renew. What did Jesus say to them? He said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. He gave them the message. And when they didn't quite follow it, and they were there and they were doing their own thing, he prepared comfort. And he prepared a lesson. And he drew Peter close to him, knowing that Peter was leader. And he said, feed my sheep. He said, feed my lambs. Just a couple of more things to consider when you renew your passion. One is a time of reflection or a time of remembrance. I call it picture album time. You see, sometimes going through life, life has a lot of challenges. This guy was trying to tell me, you know, he didn't need to go to church and this and that. And I'll tell you something. In the day and time that we're living in, life is stressful. People get up and they got kids to raise, they got games to go to, and they're driving in the traffic and they're going to a job sometimes with a stressful boss. And sometimes I hadn't had a raise in 3 years. And you're in a situation that you're trying to make ends meet and you're trying to live for God. I said people need to be in the house of the Lord so they can get fueled up. So that they can make it through the week and get the strength that they need that they can stand. Sometimes getting fuel is this. Because sometimes the weight gets so heavy, the stress gets heavy, that you need to stop and remember, as the song that Kendra and I used to sing, it says, show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Yeah. See, I don't know why I'm saying this, but this is just on my heart. I've counseled young men. Tell me about the stress. They tell, well, things ain't going right. This is not going right. It's not like it used to be. I said, when's the last time you got your picture album out? You looked at the pictures when you were dating. You look at the picture when you got married. You look at the picture when that first child was born. You look at those vacations. And you start to remember the goodness of God and what God has done for you. You know, the problem is people don't want to be put in front of the mirror of the Holy Spirit because they don't want to be put in a position to have to obey God rather than self. It's a time of reflection. I ask myself, what is God showing me? What is God trying to say? You know, sometimes you get hindsight and you can look back and you can see mistakes, but I want to tell you something. We can't do anything about yesterday. That's why what we need to do through the Holy Spirit is gain some foresight so we can look forward and know exactly where God wants us to go. Can't change the past, but God has a divine plan for the future. See, it's a time of reflection, and it is a time of reverence. As I thought about this year's gone by so fast. But I want to tell you, we have so much to be thankful for. It's a time to render again, something Hezekiah didn't do. But what that means is to be acting with thankfulness for what God's done for you. It's a time of worship. Not only is it a time of reflection and reverence, but it's a time of renewal. It's a time to be revived. And I want to give you just a couple of thoughts, and I want to ask them to go ahead and come with a song. But number one, the scripture came to my heart, is don't be weary. You see, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, scripture says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. That means if you're doing the right thing, you should keep on keeping on. You keep on doing the right thing. You see, here's why, because the things of God are worth the fight. Can I tell you that your family is worth the fight? Can I tell you that your church is worth the fight? Can I tell you that the lost being saved is worth the fight? Don't be weary. Don't be discouraged. Joshua 1:9, he said, have not I commanded thee to be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You see, sometimes if we look at the scripture, And we look at what happened with these disciples. They saw the Lord. They still went out. Here's what I want you to understand. This is what we can see in this scripture. An isolated failure does not mean it's the end. It does not mean that all of a sudden God said, well, I guess I'm done with them. Can I tell you, as long as there's breath in your lungs, God's not done with you. Don't be discouraged. God's with you wherever you go. And the last is, do not be satisfied with less than what God has for you. God has a plan for your life. Don't be satisfied with less than exactly what God wants for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Scripture says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And here's the point. God has a plan for your life. Do not be satisfied with anything less. Amen. If we get renewed and we get restored, I want to tell you, I've said this before and I mean this. I want to be in God's house. And I want to be in God's house because I know that I need to be in God's house. I want to serve God. Now I'm going to ask them to get their song ready. But I can remember years ago, driving down the road years ago, before I ever even met my wife, I used to listen to AM 920 and AM 970. And there was a song they played on there all the time. It says, if you believe, then I believe. And what it's talking about is a father singing to his children. And the reason he said, basically the song went like this. If you believe, then I believe. Because I want you to believe in him. Isolated salvation doesn't work. Our passion needs to be restored. And if our passion is restored and we serve God, it's going to rub off on somebody else. If you would stand to your feet, we're going to sing. And if God spoke to your heart this morning, I've tried my best to be obedient. I know that this message is something that God had given me, and it's something that stirred in my heart. If you feel like praying this morning, anything at all you want to talk to God about, whether it be family or church or life, please come. If you're here most importantly and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you something. There's really nothing more important than that. We were at a get-together this past week, and just like most get-togethers, not everybody who gets together is saved. I had a man make a comment. And it's hurt my heart. My wife's talked about it. He said, I know when I die I'm going to hell. And he laughed. Then he said, I just don't believe all that stuff y'all believe. Truth is, I believe God's dealing with his heart.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the Bible says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The time to bow is now. If you're here and you're not absolutely settled on the fact that you're going to heaven, you should be the first to come pray.
Yeah, amen.
And when you come, we love you enough, and I'm serious about it enough that we'll pray with you.
Amen.
Go ahead and sing.